Mary Ingley interviewing James Lagares on Wednesday, July the 9th.
The 10th.
Wednesday, July the 10th. Okay. So maybe we could just begin, James, by you introducing yourself to me.
Well, I'm James Lagares. I've lived here all my life with the exception of the 4 years of the war when we were evacuated. And we came back in 1945. The war was still on, but shortly after the war finished.
So let's just, that's great, thank you. So let's just start at the beginning. So tell me a little bit about your parents, where they came from.
My father from Gibraltar, my mother from Gibraltar. But my great-grandfather was Scottish and Irish. They first came to Gibraltar as a workman in the dockyard. He was Scottish, and apparently there was this pairing of Irish with a daughter. This is where they met, in Gibraltar. They married, hence here I am.
Ah, I see. So you're a real, true Gibraltarian.
Yes, with Irish and Scottish blood in me. It's a peppery mixture.
So what date were you born?
In 1929, the 15th of November, 1929.
So maybe you could start by telling me a little bit about what you can remember growing up in Gibraltar as a child, what it was like.
Very good, very good. Until the war came along, I was then 10, and I remember vividly listening on the radio that the war had been declared. And I, as a boy of 10, left the dining table because we were having lunch and dashed for the window because I thought I was going to see the soldiers running. And that is what my first experience of the war was.
That's a very strong memory, isn't it? Yeah.
And after that, we were evacuated to French Morocco. Meknès was the place that we were taken to. And there we were about 3 months when the French capitulated and went over to the Germans. Naturally, we were British, so we were exchanged for war prisoners. And this took place in the middle of a field. I remember coming in the train, and suddenly the train stopped. And there was another one with French people. So they were released, we were released. So we were allowed to come back to Chile. And we got here, and the governor then would not allow us to come ashore. Why? Because ships were being got ready in the dockyard to take us away again.
And you didn't know this?
No. So apparently some of the parents that was left here in Gibraltar decided to go to the governor in protest. And they had a conversation there, and we were allowed, by special permission from the governor, to come ashore. But with the condition that within 2 weeks we should leave again Gibraltar. It was then when the ships were ready, because those cargo ships were Americans. It was on let lease agreement.
Yeah.
So they got the ships ready, and when they were ready, we had marching orders again. And we came down to, off we go, to England.
And what was the ship like? Can you remember?
Oh, it was horrible. It was a cargo ship. We were sleeping and living down in the hold of the ship.
How many people?
Well, the number I cannot really tell you, but I suppose it was 300, 400, 500. Mainly women and children.
And did you get food? Did you get fed?
Well, we were 17 days at sea, high seas. And out of the 17 days, there was no bread left. And I remember vividly, at night, they used to, one of the ship members, he was a radio operator. And he used to come down into the hall, ask my brother and me up to his cabin, and he would give us an apple. When we ate the apple, he would take it back again. And that happened every day for 17 days. and his name was Gary. He was an Indian man, and I can remember vividly, I'm talking to you and I can see his picture. Teeth white as snow, and his hair all black, very shiny and all wavy.
How lucky for you that you got that
lucky
fruit.
Because there were other children on board, but he chose us. And this used to happen every night. Anyhow, we could only see sky and sea, sky and sea for 17 days. Until eventually one morning, when we came up on deck, because we weren't allowed during the dark hours, we saw land. But we didn't know where we were. And gradually the ship very slowly towed in, a tack came along, and asked us, what with big speakers, what do you want? And everybody cried out, bread, bread. And shortly after, a small boat came along with loaves of bread and tossing it up. It was a boy of 10. And where were we? In Swansea. So in Swansea, we were taken into a school. There were no children there, apparently it was closed. We were taken in there and we were fumigated. I can remember having DDD sprayed down our lips and on the back, hair. And after that, we went onto a train. Off we go. And then we came up to Victoria Station. We're in London. We had never seen such tall buildings. And it was, you know, something out of this world. And we were in England, in Kensington, High Street, none less. And there we spent 4 years. My father took up a job. I remember going with him to a pharmacy because my father was a qualified pharmacy and he closed the shop here to come with us. And we went to the shop, and the shop was really ready to close down. There was hardly anything there. And the pharmacist there, Mr. Cowan, who was the owner, a Jewish man, said, what credentials have you got? So my father brought out this certificate. He gave it to him. Oh, yeah. Okay, come in a couple of days' time and I'll let you know. All right, so off we went. But then my father realized that he had left the most important document, which was his certificate, with him. And he was ever so worried. So 2 days later, we went back to the shop in Kensington and he gave him the job. So, people got to know the Gibraltarians. Remember one thing, that most of the women which were evacuated because the men remained here in Gibraltar. Most of the women hardly spoke English.
I'm just going to move that. Yeah, I'm going to hold it so it doesn't make noise.
They hardly spoke English. So the word got to know that my father was in the shop. And all the Gibraltarians which were scattered all over Kensington and elsewhere, Chelsea, they all used to come to the farmers. And the pharmacy grew and grew and grew and grew, that he bought 3 shops by the end. So it was a happy, under the circumstances of the bombing and every night. But
tell me a little bit about the hotel, what it was like.
The hotel was very good. It was British Empire Hotel, 28 De Vere Gardens. And it was quite a good one.
Was it very grand?
No, it was, you know, being kitted out for us because, for example, the floors had no linoleum, it was just bare wood.
And it was unusual that your father came because a lot of men stayed behind, didn't they?
Yes, but my father had the experience of being parted when we went to French Morocco, and he said he wouldn't do it again. So this was the decision he took. I come along with you, I close my shop.
So the British didn't try to stop him going?
No,
a lot of the men had to stay.
Yeah, because they had essential jobs, like working in the dockyard, working with the military, the army and things like that, they wouldn't be able to go. But my father was his own master, so to speak. He had the pharmacy. He was allowed to go, which was...
Did your mother speak English? Or...
Yes.
She
yes.
did, so yes. again, quite unusual.
Yeah, well, it's not. Most of them knew English, but they wouldn't speak it as fluently as they should have done. And that's why they all concentrated to Lagares' pharmacy. It wasn't Lagares' pharmacy, he used to be there.
It must have been difficult for him to leave all these. Did he sell them all after the war? What happened?
Oh, well, when we came back from after the war, he opened up the shop and we continued life here as a pharmacist.
But what did he do with the ones in London?
No, he left the shop and came over with us back. And Mr. Cowan, when my father told him that he was coming to Gibraltar, he wouldn't allow him. He said, no, you stay here. I can't. I got a business in Gibraltar to open. I have a home. I have a son who used to work here, my brother. And I got to go back. You know what Mr. Cowan did? The last week, he never turned up. He never said goodbye to my father, never shook his hand or anything.
Oh, that's awful. Mm.
But then, in 1950, I went back to England to study my chiropody. And this is incredible, but it's very, very true. My mother used to say to me and my aunt, don't forget to go and see your cousins. Okay. So on my first opportunity, I go down to Victoria Station, get a ticket, into the train. It was a Sunday. And there was a gentleman reading his newspaper. I sat opposite. We were the only two in the cabin. And when the train started, I didn't want to interrupt his reading. So I waited. And when the doors all closed and the train started going, he put his paper down, and he was there when I saw the opportunity. I asked him, excuse me, sir, can you tell me how many stops there are to St. Mary's Crane, which is where my cousins were living? He says, oh, it's about 8 stops. Said, thank you very much. And all of a sudden, he said to me, where do you come from? I said, I come from Gibraltar. Oh, yes. Have you been here before? And I said, yes, during the war. Oh, well, on your own? No, I was with my parents and my brother and my sister. Oh, that's it. And is your name Jimmy? I said, yes. And your brother Ernest? Yes. And your sister Angela? I said, yes. And your father Jerome? Yes, I was... How do you know all this? He said, I am the secretary to the company where your father used to work, Harrington's Pharmacy. And Mr. Cowan, the owner, he never one day go by without him mentioning the Lagares Pharmacy, the Lagares family. And that's how I became to know your name.
That's extraordinary, isn't it?
Incredible.
Incredible.
How would you like to meet Mr. Cowan? I would love to meet him. Yeah, because my father really was hurt for the fact that everything that he had put in and never got thanks for it. Anyhow, so I gave him the address where I was staying. It was the Crankmore Hotel phone number, and one day he rang me up and gave me an appointment. And I went to see Mr. Cowan. And he was over the moon, Mr. Cowan. He gave me a letter to give to my father. He said, make sure that your father gets this letter. I said, don't you worry, he will get it. So I sent it off back to him. And it was a letter of apology. How sorry he was. He wasn't there to say him goodbye and all the rest. And my father was quite moved about it.
I'm sure, because it was sort of completion of that.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. What an amazing story.